And thank you for that special, Caitlin. Proverbs chapter number 3 in our Bibles this morning. Proverbs chapter number 3. I also want you to find Matthew chapter number 14. Proverbs 3 and Matthew chapter 14. Let me just clarify the meeting tonight. Anybody can be at the meeting. If you're a regular attender, say, I haven't joined the church yet, you still come tonight, okay? I was trying to emphasize members being here so that they can pray in the know. But really, anybody can be here tonight. We're asking God to give us wisdom for the next steps with regards to our building. We are going to tread this morning on some familiar territory from the book of Proverbs. I don't know about you, I woke this morning thinking about the people that I know in Florida and thinking about the latest on the hurricane. It's amazing to me how many hurricanes, I think there's 3. We looked at the one in Houston just a little bit ago. And then you hear about earthquakes in the news. You hear about people getting killed on a day-by-day, really, basis. I mean, if you watch the news or listen to the news in the Philly area, it seems like almost every day someone got shot, someone got hurt. And sometimes these things can be a little bit unsettling. They can be a little unnerving for us. Of course, was it 16 years ago? You think about all tomorrow, 9/11, and all that happened there. And boy, it just seems like what the Scripture says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. Always challenges coming. But we find in Proverbs chapter 3 a very stabilizing verse. As a matter of fact, 2 stabilizing verses. And maybe today, if I was to ask how many of you have a favorite verse or favorite verses, some of you, I know my wife would, because these are her favorite verses in the Scriptures. Some of you would say, those are my favorite verses in all the Scripture. And I want to call our attention to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5 and verse number 6. Again, these verses are not new to all of us. As a matter of fact, why don't we just do this? Some of you could probably quote those verses. Some of you can look in the text and read it. But let's read these 2 verses together, all right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's read it together now. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I want to give you 5 truths from this, from these 2 verses. I see in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 a call. Before we look at the Scriptures, let's have a word of prayer. And by the way, if you find Matthew chapter 14, we're going to use Matthew 14 to illustrate the truth that we're being reminded of in Proverbs 3. All right? Lord, we love you today. Thank you for the music, and thank you for the encouragement and the fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the smiles that we see amongst God's people with each other and for the joy that we can have. Now today, Lord, we all need reminded of these truths, and I ask that you would do what only you can do. Would you help us, Lord, to focus? Spirit of God, I pray that you would take me as a weak and frail vessel. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Empty me of self. And I ask, Lord, that you would have your will and way accomplished in this service. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Scripture starts out here, trust in the Lord. Number one, I see as I look at these 2 verses, I see a call to trust God consciously. A conscious decision to trust the Lord. The word trust is a word that means to be confident in and depend upon. We could even say to believe him. The word for Lord here is the word that we find and have found and looked at even recently in the book of Exodus, I am that I am. The term Jehovah that denotes the self-existent God. And you know, for us, sometimes you talk to people. We go out and knock on doors. As a matter of fact, this week I met a fella, a young man, knocked on the door, and we began talking about the gospel. And he said this to me. He said, I don't believe that. I don't believe there's a heaven, and I don't believe there's a hell. And when someone tells me that, I try to find the source. Where is that coming from? Most of the time, it's coming from their own selves. And I said to this guy in a very nice but straightforward way, so in essence, you're kind of your own God. And he said this, well, I don't know that I would go that far. I said, but the reality is you are trusting in yourself. You know, there's a lot of things that we can trust in, both saved and unsaved. As a matter of fact, the scripture admonishes us, Psalm 118, verse 9, better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Sometimes we put our confidence in man. And maybe you're here today and you say, well, I'm encouraged with what's happening in D.C. and what our president's trying to do. Our hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me, the songwriter wrote. And it's easy sometimes for us to put our trust or our confidence in man. Psalm 20 in verse 7, the scripture says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Some people will trust in their own might. They'll trust in their chariots and their horses and the ability that they have to accomplish things and to defeat the enemy. Zechariah 4 and verse 16, I believe it is, or verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. In Proverbs 11 and verse 28, we read, he that trusteth in riches shall fall. We shouldn't trust in riches. And as we think about this, we might say, yes, I know people that are trusting in man. I know people that are trusting in themselves. I know people that are trusting in their own riches. And yet sometimes as Christians, we have a tendency to put our trust in something other than the Lord. You say, what do you mean? Well, everybody has what you might call a worry point when it comes to the checkbook. You know, you look at the checkbook and you get a bill and the bill's for $200 and you have $300 and you say, well, okay, I can at least make this payment. But sometimes you get a bill for $200 and you have $198 and you have to hope that the check gets to them, the money gets in the bank in time. And sometimes we can have a tendency to put our trust in something or someone other than the Lord. And as I look at this scripture, I see a call to trust God consciously, a conscious choice to say, I am putting my trust in the Lord. Sometimes God will remind us. We have a tendency to be secure. We don't have any hurricanes coming in Pennsylvania. And we say, well, we're going to pray for the people in Florida. But imagine what the people in Florida are thinking right now. You see, we have a tendency to take our trust and put it in something or someone other than the Lord. D.L. Moody said this, trust in yourself and you are doomed to disappointment. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in money and you may have it taken from you. We found out about that a number of years ago when the stock market went the wrong direction. People were committing suicide and whatnot. Your money, it can be taken from you. Trust in reputation and some slanderous tongue may blast it. But trust in God, Moody said, and you are never to be confounded in time or eternity. We look at the aspect to trust in the Lord. Secondly, as I look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I see not just a call to trust Him consciously, but I see a call to trust Him completely. The Bible says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with all of you. You ever work with somebody and they're kind of half-hearted? You ever work somebody, you got to do a job with somebody, they partner you up with somebody, and they do what they do when their heart's not really in it. And you want to say to them, hey, get with it, man. Get with the program. You play sports, you play soccer, or you play basketball with somebody, and they're just kind of lollygagging over in the corner, and they're not really doing what they should be doing. And you say to them, hey, come on, give it your all. Somebody say, well, I don't have the talent or the ability. That's okay. It doesn't matter. Just give it your all. you know we have a tendency to not trust God with all of our heart, with our whole being? I read about a story about a child that talked about his Uncle Oscar. And Uncle Oscar was apprehensive about his first airplane ride. His friends were eager to hear how it went, and he asked if he enjoyed the flight. He said, "Well," Uncle Oscar said, "it wasn't as bad as I thought it might be, but I'll tell you this, I never did put all my weight down." And you think about that, you laugh about that, but the fact of the matter is, sometimes that's how we can be. We can have a tendency to put our trust in the Lord and in some other secure thing. Well, frankly, you talk to different people about religions. One of the hardest things in helping people that embrace Hinduism is to help them to see that it's Jesus and Jesus alone. Because they got a whole bunch of gods, thousands of gods. One guy told me once there's millions of Hindu gods. I got confused a little bit, asked a few more questions. But the idea is, okay, I've got all these gods, and you're telling me I need Jesus too? Fine, I'll put Jesus right on top. I talked to someone not too recent, a couple weeks ago, and he said, "I'm trying to blend Christianity and Hinduism. I'm trying to blend or take the good from both." And I had to say this, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." We're looking at trusting Him 100% completely with all our heart. Now turn to Matthew chapter 14. Maybe you're there already. And I want to see this illustrated just a little bit in a story again that we are all familiar with. This story in Matthew chapter number 14. The Bible tells us in verse number 22 of Matthew 14. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain to pray, apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Now, as soon as Peter recognizes it's the Lord, as we looked at our first point, that conscious choice, he recognizes it's the Lord. If it had been anybody else, I'm not sure Peter would have gotten out of the boat. We don't know how he could see. We don't know what he could see. The Scripture tells us that when he heard, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid," that Peter then was ready to take action. And the Scripture says that Peter says, "Bid me," verse 28, "bid me come unto the water if it's you." And Jesus says, "Come." I want us to see here, obviously, Peter made a conscious choice because the Lord was the one that was calling the shots. But the Scripture tells us that Peter got out of the boat. We don't read anywhere where Peter held on to the side of the boat and said, "Well, we'll go a few steps," kind of like we like to do, and we like to hold on. We like to have a little bit of a security when it comes to taking steps of faith. But the Scripture tells us that we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our being, completely 100% trust. And we see here illustrated in the life of Peter an individual that was completely 100% got out of the boat and began walking on the water, trusting God completely, getting rid of our crutches, getting rid of our God. Again, sometimes we'll get those things out of our lives. Sometimes trouble's a good thing if trouble draws us closer to the Lord. Think about the times you've gone back to this Scripture verse, and maybe others like it. "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee." When you think about it, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. We often come back to scripture verses like this in times of trouble, in times of hardship. And often God removes things to get us to a place where we have to trust him 100%. Completely. And that's what we see in Matthew chapter 14. And we'll come back and look at what happens here in this story in just a minute. Let me read this before we move on to our third call. Samuel Rutherford said this, "Duties are ours, events are God's. When our faith goes to meddle with events and to hold account upon God's providence and beginneth to say, 'How wilt thou do this or that?' we lose ground. We have nothing to do there. It is our part to let the Almighty exercise his own office and steer his own helm. There is nothing left for us but to see how we may be approved of him and how we roll the weight of our weak souls upon him who is God omnipotent." What is he saying? Let God be God. Let God be sovereign. Let God be omnipotent. And let us, as his children, cast our care, roll our burden on to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Number three, we read this phrase, the Bible says in Proverbs 3, "And lean not unto thine own understanding." Number three, I see in this verse, these verses, a call to trust him continually. The word lean means to support. The idea of lean not unto your own understanding is to support oneself, to rely upon oneself, to rely upon our own wisdom. We have a tendency to default back to human thinking in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a difficulty. We have a tendency to waffle. We're talking about a situation, maybe a trial, a circumstance come in your life. You say, okay, I know God brought this. All right, let's just talk about the human challenge we have out here. We know circumstantially that God allowed a fire. We know that God allowed the building to be gone. We know that God has given us favor in the eyes of certain people, and we've had some bumps and some challenges along the road. But how often can we find ourselves, myself included, in the midst of this trial, in the midst of this storm, going from a place of trusting the Lord to leaning on my own understanding? You see, the admonition, the call in the scripture, is for us to trust him continually, to stay on the ground of faith, to keep on believing God in the midst of this situation and the circumstances that we have in our own lives. Sometimes we don't start out by faith, which we should. But some trials that we face aren't just here and gone in 10 minutes. And sometimes they're here for a day or a two or a week or a month. And God wants us not to fall back on our own understanding. We have to do our part. We have to obey the Lord. We have to do our responsibility. Sometimes when we face trials, we have a tendency to shirk our responsibilities. We get discouraged or defeated or whatever, and we don't do what we're supposed to do, and we need to continue to fulfill our God-given responsibility. But we need to remember that our tendency is to lean on our understanding. Think about Matthew 14. You can look it there if you want. Peter made the decision to get out of the boat. He made the decision to let go. It doesn't show us anywhere where he had this rope, you know, tied to his back, or he had a life jacket. We don't see any of that. So he made a decision, a conscious choice to trust, okay? He makes a complete decision. He gets out of the boat, and he's walking on the water. But now think about this. What happens? Peter begins walking on the water to get his eyes on the storm and thinking, maybe he's thinking, man, how am I doing this? Maybe he's thinking, wow, this is amazing. Whoa. Maybe he hears the wind and the storm and the rain. Maybe some lightning crashes. And Peter goes, whoa, you know, as he's walking on the water. He gets his eyes on the circumstances around him. And what do we see? He begins to look at Peter. In this trial, he takes his eyes off of Jesus. And can we say it this way? He begins to lean upon his own understanding. You see, that's our tendency. Our tendency is to lean on our own understanding and to say, hey, how can we figure this out? A television program preceding the 1988 Winter Olympics featured blind skiers being trained for slalom skiing. You imagine that? It's amazing what people can do when they set their mind to it. And so here they are training some blind skiers, and they paired them with sighted skiers, obviously skiers that could see. The blind skiers were taught on sounds. So they were taught how to make right and how to make left turns. When that was mastered, they were taken to the slalom slope. And the sighted partners skied beside them, shouting, left, right. As they obeyed the commands, they were able to negotiate the course and cross the finish line while depending solely on the sighted skier's word. It was either complete, continual trust, or it was catastrophe for these blind skiers. What a great illustration. What a great illustration for us in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a storm, or just in day-to-day life. To say, God, I'm going to trust you. You're the one I'm putting my trust in, not riches or man or anything else. I'm putting my trust in you. And God, I'm putting my complete trust in you. I'm not straddling one here and one there. I'm not trusting you plus something else. My complete trust is in you. And God, I'm trusting you now in this trial. I'm going to trust you continually. I'm going not to lean on my own understanding. And sometimes we have to catch ourselves and say, okay, wait a minute. I can't lean on my own understanding. I've got to see God do what God wants to do. Number four, as we look at this scripture verse again, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we see it's not just a call to trust him continually, but number four, it's a call to trust him consistently. In all thy ways, the word ways is a word that means course or path of life or journey, acknowledge, discern, diligently learn of him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Do you know we're talking beyond just one specific trial? We're talking about in all our ways. We're talking about in the journey of life. Think with me about Peter again. You can look at Matthew 14. For sake of time, we'll not turn there. There's an interesting verse, by the way, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Right after this story here, where Peter walked on the water, the disciples were doubting. And the scripture says this, we should turn to and look at it. It's a great little phrase. It says, they were fearful. They considered not the loaves. Ah. They forgot what Jesus had done in feeding the 5,000 and in meeting the need. And they faced another trial, and they found themselves worried and fearful and all upset. Why? Because they didn't learn to trust him consistently. Think about all the lessons that Peter has to learn about walking with the Lord, about trusting the Lord. You know, in 14, he's walking on water. Yay, this is awesome, you know what I'm saying? In 16, you know what's happening? Jesus says, he calls Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Whoa! I mean, he goes from surfing to Satan in two chapters. Wouldn't we think that Peter in 16, and of course, as the scriptures go further, what do we find? We find Peter denying the Lord. We find Peter always getting himself into trouble. Praise God. He lets God have his life. And in the book of Acts, what a powerful man that God uses as a preacher to see people saved. Wow. But you see, there's got to be an acknowledging of him in all my ways. As I take steps in life, as I am on the journey of life, as I go from one trial to another trial, it is important for me to learn from this trial that Jesus never fails, that I can trust him, that he'll take care of me, that he'll meet that need, and bring that to the next trial in my life. You see, I'm acknowledging him. I'm looking to him. You see, as we look at this aspect of trusting him consistently, all our ways acknowledge him. Past victories should propel us to believe God more. Past victories should propel us to believe God more. But we see in the Word of God illustrated many times, we see God's people falling into unbelief. I've referenced this a number of times in the past. The Red Sea's parted. Everyone's on the other side. Praise the Lord. This is awesome. Wow, no more Egyptians. And 3 days later, they're complaining. Oh, we're going to die in the wilderness. You brought us out here. There's no food to eat. There's no water to drink. And sometimes we are the exact same way. In all our ways, in the journey of life, we need to acknowledge him, to learn from him. And then number five, we see a call to trust him confidently. It doesn't say, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and there's a good possibility he'll direct your paths. It doesn't say, hey, in all your ways acknowledge him, and I sure hope that he comes through in the end. There's a confidence there. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct. The word means to make straight or to make right thy paths. Hey, paths has to do with our destiny in life. We're going to end up where we're supposed to. I think of the scripture that says, the Lord, his thoughts of us are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us what? An expected end. You see, if I acknowledge God today, and I believe God today, and believe God tomorrow, and do what God wants me to do, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, I'll be exactly where I'm supposed to be. There's confidence that he shall direct our paths. How many of you have a GPS in your vehicle? How many of you use your phone as a GPS? That kind of is a little bit of a bummer when you use your phone as a GPS because somebody calls you. Hey, yeah, I'd like to talk to you, but I'm lost. Can I call you back? You know, and for me, sometimes I forget to call them back and feel bad about it a couple of days later, you know. You ever punch in the address on the GPS and you find yourself driving? I remember I was driving over here in Chester Springs somewhere, and the GPS told me to go this way, and the road went from asphalt to gravel to dirt. I'm seeing the back of people's houses thinking, man, I'm in somebody's yard. And there was a hesitancy. Kids are like, Dad, where are we going? I don't know. We're supposed to be going to this guy's address. And sure enough, after seeing these farms, the back end of these farms, I drove out. The road went back to gravel, and it went to beautiful asphalt. And I was in this beautiful, gorgeous, wonderful, nice home, housing development. Of course, I left a different way. I didn't want to go back through those people's houses, and I kind of figured out where I was by then. But you know what? In life, we can have certainty. we can have certainty. Yes, sometimes we don't understand what's going on. Sometimes we've got challenges in our life and we say, boy, I can't see the storms are coming. Is that the Lord out there? I can't really. Hey, but you know what? If we'll acknowledge Him, He promises He shall direct our paths. He will come through. He always does come through. God's way is always best. We know in Romans 12, the will of God is what? Good and acceptable and perfect. Wow, what a great God. We've got to convince young people in this day and age that doing what God wants is way better than what the world says. And it really is. It really is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. On June 25th, 1865... James Hudson Taylor, at 33, came to the great crisis of his life. The local was Brighton Beach on the south coast of England. There on a quiet Sunday morning, he took a step of faith in response to a simple spiritual principle he had just discovered. He was surprised that this truth had so long eluded him. Quote, "If we are obeying the Lord, the responsibility rests with Him, not with us." Months of struggle were over, and the way ahead was clear. To obey the Scriptures and trust God to be faithful to His pledged word was not rash. Throwing caution and tradition to the winds, Hudson Taylor formed the China Inland Mission. Someone wrote, "Trust Him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust Him when thy strength is small. Trust Him when to simply trust Him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust Him, He is ever faithful. Trust Him, for His will is best. Trust Him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest." What a great promise we find in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. A call to make a conscious choice. I'm not trusting anything or anyone else. I'm trusting the Lord. A call to make a complete choice. I'm trusting the Lord with all my heart. A call to make a continual choice, a consistent choice, and a confident choice. He shall direct our paths. What a great God that we have, that we can trust. Lord, we love You today.